And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just covering down on some major ground across the northern, not just northern half, we're in the southeast U.S. of A. I mean, this show, Lord, it goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn. It's right across the border from there to what we now call, once again, Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And then, oh, by the way, that's just the radio audience. Then all y'all that are out there live streaming, all y'all that are out there podcasting, I mean, anywhere in the whole wide world, people going to the World Wide Web and picking up Right Side Radio. And we appreciate it and we thank you because y'all are the reason why we do this. All right, you know the deal. It is Friday afternoon. Y'all, it is Friday afternoon. We are halfway through hour number two. That means we pause. We take a moment, we gather ourselves, and we set aside just all the angst about politics and the uproar about culture, and we just step back a minute and let the guru of sports himself, I don't care who's got a sports show out there, they don't have JP. JP on sports, and by the way, he has his own sound effect, courtesy of sorority girls at Auburn University. Play it. He loves it. Every time he does it, you ought to see his face.
Great. What can I say?
All right. I'm going to quit doing all the talking. I'm going to say, first of all, though, that we do have two rounds. The first round's called the three and out. JP has...
Inspired Advisors is sponsoring the JP.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, he was whispering to me. I couldn't tell what he was saying. Yeah, this is all brought to you by Inspired Advisors, and we'll tell you more about them in a few minutes. But yes, JP does the three and out. It's the three top stories he sees out there in sports world in general. We take a break, come right back, and he has the two-minute warnings. That's where he runs 2 minutes on a variety of segments related to sports. Three and out. JP, take it.
Well, we are upon, in my opinion, one of the more underrated periods of sports, especially in the college world, of college baseball postseason is upon us now. It's one of the more fun ones, in my opinion, especially when we get towards the end and we get to Omaha. A lot of teams can get streaky and go on runs, and it's very entertaining. But the SEC, if you thought they dominated in basketball this past year, the SEC is continuing to dominate baseball because 13 SEC baseball teams made the postseason, and 8 of those are hosting a first round regional. And one of those teams is Auburn. Auburn plays against Central Connecticut State tonight at 6 p.m.
Central Connecticut State.
Yes, which is another fun part about baseball is I feel like the college baseball talent pool is much more widespread than, I mean, college football is getting to that level, but college football isn't at that level with teams like, you know, Central Connecticut State. I feel like the talent pool is spread out a lot more evenly in college baseball. We get teams like Central Connecticut State who can make a regional, and, you know, you may look at that name like, who's that? But they could, I mean, they got solid players on that team more than likely. So, but Auburn, like I said, is hosting a regional tonight. Alabama will be traveling. They're actually playing right now against Miami. I think they're down 4 runs. They're not getting off to a great start today. But they're playing Miami, and their regional is at Southern Miss. So I believe how the first round of the regionals work, it is double elimination, if I remember correctly. So even if these teams, you know, drop a game in the you know first game they play, they still got some cushion there to keep going. But yeah, look for the SEC to continue to dominate in baseball. 13 SEC teams and 8 of those are hosting a regional. It's just crazy.
That is crazy.
It's nuts.
I mean, it was football, then it's basketball, and now it's baseball.
Now it's everything.
SEC is like, yes. Okay, we're not going to get cocky about it, though.
Why not?
Come on now. So, by the way, that double elimination, is that a double header, or is that just like, do you have to lose 2 games to be out?
Yeah, lose 2 games to be out.
Okay, any 2 games.
So, like, it's, you know, obviously you got, it's like a 4-team bracket to start, and so, you know, the losers of the both games, you know, play, and then the winner of the loser's game then plays the winner of the winner's game, and then the loser has to beat the winner 2 times. Yeah, anyways, yes, double elimination.
I need a whiteboard now.
you lose twice and you're out. So, okay. Yeah, that's how it goes.
All right, yeah. Loving some postseason baseball. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Go War Eagle. All right, so that's one. What's two?
NBA playoffs continuing to go. We're inching closer to the finals. We have our first team that has clinched the finals. The Thunder had a gentleman's sweep against the Timberwolves. It was pretty dominant, except for the one game the Timberwolves were able to sneak out. And what's funny is the one game that the Timberwolves, you know, beat the Thunder on, they beat them pretty bad. But they, like I said, got gentlemen swept. So the Timberwolves are out. Thunder are going to the finals. And the Eastern Conference Finals, it's turned out to be a great series like I expected. So it started to look like the Pacers were going to run away with it. They had a 3-1 lead going into the game last night at Madison Square Garden, and then the Knicks fought back and were able to get a game back. So now it's 3-2, and we're going into Saturday. We'll be going back to Indiana. So Indiana, the Pacers are still one game away from clinching the playoffs, but the Knicks are trying to push this to Game 7. So, yeah, this is a very close series, in my opinion. I think whoever wins is going to lose to the Thunder anyways, but it's still a great series. Much closer than the Western Conference Finals. But Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns last night were able to have great games and push it over to Game 6. So we'll see tomorrow night if the Pacers can close it out at home or if we're going back to Madison Square Garden for Game 7.
All right, cool. That's two. You're blazing through. You're going to wind up in overtime. You know what's going to happen.
I got a lot of meat on this last one.
So oh, okay. So you're bringing the big dog for number three.
Yeah.
All right,
strategically. So, you know, if some people are tired or hearing about the WNBA.
Oh, God.
Listen, I think this is...
Can I raise my hand?
Yeah. Well, I think it's as a fascinating... What we're seeing is fascinating, but also for the wrong reasons. The WNBA is like the liberal hotbed for professional sports, I would say.
Yeah.
But Caitlin Clark, she's exposing a lot of deep resentment and, dare I say, racism within the WNBA with her just simply, you know, taking the league by storm. And, you know, so we had the, quote, incident 2 weeks ago between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, which was really nothing. It was blown up. But the WNBA then opened an investigation after that game because apparently, I don't know if Angel Reese claimed it or if there was an anonymous claim or something. There was a claim that some racial slurs were hurled at Angel Reese in the Indiana Pacers game. And what is the, can I put on that board the least likely things to have ever happened, you know, at a WNBA game? Like, that's just not believable, in my opinion. Like,
wait, they're throwing out the Angel Reese was discriminated against?
The fans were apparently selling racial slurs at Angel Reese. Wow. No evidence of it. No video of it.
Okay.
You got about, what, 20,000 or more fans in an arena? If that were to happen, somebody's got it on video. And that's just... Anytime I hear something like that, I mean, sure, it could happen maybe, but I'm not buying it. And of course, the investigation closed with no evidence of that happening. And injuries could have buried it, you know, when the investigation started and came out and said that there was nothing behind it, but she let it ride because I think she was a little embarrassed that Chicago Sky got destroyed by the Indiana Fever. But not only that, while the NBA is investigating baseless claims that some, you know, racial slurs were thrown at Angel Reese from the fans, there's a video.
Yes.
Later that week.
Yes.
Of Brittany Griner.
Brittany Griner.
On the bench after she fouled out, Caitlin Clark drew a foul against Brittany Griner and she fouled out. And there's footage of Brittany Griner then on the bench afterwards. If you read lips, she said something about that trash white girl. And I've seen some people try to say, oh, she's saying what a whack call or something. And I go,
no.
I can read lips. Okay. call doesn't have an R in it. So you're not saying that trash Carl. She said that trash white girl. It's pretty obvious there. But even if, you know, if you're skeptical of that being said, what if there was a video of Caitlin Clark and she got fouled out by Angel Reese, and she goes to the bench and says something about, you know,
about that black girl.
That black girl. There'd be an investigation. She would be suspended. She would be dead and buried and gone. And while the WNBA is investigating this baseless claim that, you know, with the Fever fans, but they're not even going to mention or bring up or do an investigation into Brittany Griner being caught saying that. That's just that the double standard is crazy, in my opinion. And the WNBA, they're clearly not ready to be taken to the next level because if you have so much racist, you know, underlying resentment that you can't even welcome in Caitlin Clark with open arms because she's white, then you got a lot of problems. But I think it's fascinating that this is all being exposed. And it's just simply because Caitlin Clark is good at basketball and it's spiraling out of control. And It deserves to be called out because the WNBA needs to deal with its racism.
Well, the WNBA is mollycoddling it. Mm-hmm. They are literally enabling it, if you will. And I won't take too much of your time, but we're talking about the league that actually held an ode to George Floyd last weekend. Mm-hmm. 5 years later, they're celebrating the life of George Floyd before the game starts. And I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. It's and like I said last week, I mean, it's even causing people like Ryan Clark to make it a race issue even more and saying that people who are married to white women can't comment on the Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark thing because they don't understand the plight of, you know, black women in America. It's just I think it's fascinating, like I said, because if the WNBA is going to get to the level it needs to be, they obviously have a racism problem they need to deal with. And the WNBA has a tide that has risen all boats has been Caitlin Clark, you know, because Angel Reese, the reason she became popular was her rivalry with Caitlin Clark in college. And, you know, you got all the teams in the WNBA, the numbers across the board, not just for Indiana Fever, across the board are up. So everybody is benefiting from Caitlin Clark. And no, it's not because she's white. It's because she is a generational talent. So instead of being resentful and, you know, bitter about it, how about you welcome her in and accept it, and you will benefit from it and how she plays. So hopefully we can see this, you know, being toned down in the future. But more importantly, I'd like to see the WNBA, instead of kowtowing to, you know,
yeah,
the liberal narrative, to actually try to do something to protect Caitlin Clark, your player. Because now we have video evidence of players, you know, saying that trash white girl while also Caitlin Clark being decked every game. I think it's not a coincidence. I'd like to connect those dots.
It's not a coincidence at all, and it's a leadership issue as much as anything. Coaches need to get hold of this. You know, the WNBA may be the parent organization, but the reality is an individual coach can still make a difference in the discipline of their team. Mm-hmm. And if this individual coach is going to sit by and let all that kind of stuff happen – And we know that Angel Reese's coach is not much of a help on this. So I'm going to say that the leadership is also something I would say has to get engaged on this issue.
I would agree.
Good job, man. That's Thanks. Three and out. And you had no overtime.
No overtime.
All right. And we're going to a break. We're coming right back for round two of JP on Sports. This is the 2-minute warning coming up. He will have 2 minutes. I got a timer and a buzzer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're going to go to round two of JP on Sports. So, yes, indeed, JP on Sports has this whole segment we do called the 2-minute warning. And the 2-minute warning is literally, I've got a timer and a buzzer. And he's got 2 minutes for every sports topic he can think of to cram in there. 2 minutes, ready, start, go.
So I feel like weekly I almost have to do like this example of the week that a transgender in high school sports is winning the state championship. Because yeah. I feel like ever since, you know, Trump has put in order for this to stop, we just keep seeing examples of it not stopping.
Yeah.
So Marissa Rothenberger is this dude's name, a biological male playing pitcher in softball in Minnesota.
I saw that.
The state of Tim Walz, so kind of tracks. But his team... Actually, so while he was pitching, his team in the state tournament shut out the defending champs in back-to-back games. Back-to-back games with a dude pitching, they shut out the defending state champs.
Complete no-hitter.
What does that tell you? You know, that didn't seem like a coincidence to me.
Maybe a little something going on.
Yeah, so they haven't won the state championship yet, but this seems like they're well on their way if they have a dude pitching for them. And if they just shut out the defending champs in back-to-back games, I think that's a sign of what's to come. But like I said, every week I feel like I see an example of it. And it needs to constantly be called out when it's happening, because I feel like if it's people are too scared to call it out, then it just continues to go on. You got to put on pressure on, you know, for states, even though it's a state like Tim Walz, obviously, but there's been an executive order signed and you need to comply. And if something, pressure needs to be put on them somehow for this nonsense to stop, because it's just more girls being robbed. I mean, these defending state champs, they could have had a chance to go back to back. And that's something that for the rest of their lives, they'll know it got robbed from them because a dude went out and shoved it down and like they had no shot.
Got a big old asterisk next to it.
They have no shot at it. So it's just, it's really disappointing. But like I said, it's just, it constantly needs to be brought to the light. And Preston needs to put on, you know, Tim Walz. You know, he's probably out doing manly man stuff, like fixing trucks.
Manly man.
Fixing trucks and shooting shotguns.
That's right.
Nothing's more manly than having your high school athletes being, you know, compromised because dudes are playing in their sports.
And there you go. 2 minutes. Oh, good time. All right. Reset the clock and start.
So this is kind of on the same thread. However, this is a win for the world of making sports fair. Today, the World Boxing, I guess it's World Boxing Organization, but World Boxing is now introducing mandatory sex testing for their athletes to compete. And if you remember, Iman Khalif, who won the gold medal, who everybody was gaslit from the fact
Paris
that,
Olympics.
Yeah, everybody was gaslit that Iman Khalif was intersex, and he passed all the necessary requirements to compete in the women's division, and everybody who called it out was wrong, and he actually was suing people for defamation for simply talking about it. And then what was it? 4 or 5 months after the fact, after he had won the gold medal and put these girls' lives at risk, it came out that, no, he's actually a dude and
a
was
dude.
A dude all along. But that story did not get, you know, as near as much attention as the story of people getting called out for simply telling the truth. But in this memorandum that World Boxing put out, they actually specifically called out Iman Khalif and said that he is no longer able to compete in the women's division until he goes through mandatory sex testing, sex screening. So I think that is a sign of new times, and I think that deserves to be applauded because that's a big win. Boxing in particular, people have died in boxing, and if you have Olympic athlete women boxers who are throwing in the towel after taking like 4 or 5 jabs from him, like that is a sport where somebody could die. So I think this is going to save many women's lives in world boxing, and we finally have, you know, sports across the board and Olympics, mainly in boxing, will be hopefully back to normal and fair. And dudes like Iman Khalif won't have an unfair advantage over women who train their whole lives.
It makes sense. That was the weirdest Olympics ever, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And it started off with the mocking of the Last Supper.
Oh, my gosh.
Macron's France.
I'm just saying. Timer. There you go. Reset the clock. 2 minutes. Ready? Go.
Well, we had two big announcements in the state of Alabama sports-wise this 2 days ago. It was the deadline for folks or guys to withdraw or stay in the NBA draft. And we had a Todd Pettifer for Auburn, who was still in the draft, was still floating his name around there the day the deadline came. He decided to pull his name out of the NBA draft and come back to Auburn, which is a big get for Bruce Pearl and Auburn. This is a kid that has a ton of potential, a great shooting point guard for Auburn. And Auburn, truth be told, is losing a lot of, you know, Janai Broom, Dylan Cardwell, Chaney Johnson, all of those guys, you know, were seniors. So anybody they can get back is big. But then at 10:30, an hour and a half before the deadline for the NBA draft, LeBaron Fylon for Alabama, another stud freshman point guard who everybody thought was no chance he's coming back. No chance. He'll be a first-round pick more than likely. Decides he's going to come back to Alabama as well. So two freshman point guards in the state of Alabama made big splashes and announced that they're coming back. And Fylon and Tahad Pettifer, I'm looking forward to the IBOB next year because those two are going to be the guys. Those two are going to be the guys for their teams next year. And it's great competition. Like two point guards, they're going to be guarding each other and going at it. So I think it's great for both teams that they got those guys back out of the draft. It's going to go a long way because Alabama was kind of in the same spot as Auburn. You know, Alabama lost a lot for the draft this year too. And they really needed a point guard, and Fylon leaving hurt. So Fylon coming back, and that's kind of the last missing piece Alabama needed. Wow.
Well,
my bad. The bump came in.
Apparently the music came in. Do you think they called each other? Do you think they called each other? Hey, man, you stay in, I'll stay in.
I'll
see you at the IBOB.
I'll see it. Maybe they did.
Who knows? All right, good stuff. JP on sports. That's good, man. All right, listen, that's it. We hit it. We're going to the break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio on a Friday afternoon, hour number 3. We'll be right back.